Welcome to the Should Have Bet More podcast presented by VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Coming up on the show, Jenson Lewis, former big league pitcher, will join us. We will go over the NBA Finals. We will go over the College Baseball World Series, which begins on Friday. But the NBA Finals is the story. Off day on Thursday, off day on Friday. The Spurs get 2 days to regroup, and man, the Spurs need some regrouping, because that was about as bad as a loss as you're ever going to see. One of the great games, and none of this, I don't think, is exaggeration. One of the great games in NBA history. The Knicks come back and win game four, down 29, 81-52. I mean, you're down 30 points in the second half, and the Knicks come back and they win it. Knicks now minus 500 favorites to win the championship. Think about that. Think about that sentence. Knicks minus 500 series favorites to win the NBA Finals. Knicks are in the NBA Finals and are minus 500 to win it. The Spurs are 5.5-point favorites for Saturday night. 8:40 Eastern tip-off, total 216.5. And, wow, just so much to dissect with Game 4. You know, there was part of me that thought, man, the Knicks, you know, this magic carpet ride, they're never out of it. Maybe I should throw a little something on the money line. I mean, if you're down 30 in the second half, and some of the books out there, you know, 20-1, 22-1, that's not nearly enough. Obviously, if you bet it and you won, you're happy to have that 20-1 ticket, and that's a nice cash. But there's nowhere, I mean, that's nowhere near where it should be. But, and there was part of me, oh, maybe the Knicks, you know, it's just can't come around. I had that same kind of thought with the Cavs game too, where it's like, you know, they're home, who knows? But you look at the numbers and they just don't justify betting it. But, I mean, that was maybe 5 or 10% of my brain. The other 90% of my brain was, there's just not enough time left, and it's too many points, and the Spurs are really good, and the Spurs, yeah, they were due to cool off in the second half, which they did. And by the way, you can have the Spurs, Mitch Johnson, the Spurs coach, you can have them. De'Aaron Fox, you can have them. Wembanyama, look, going to be great player, going to be even, you know, all-time great player possibly. Enough of, you know, he likes to paint in the park, and he likes poetry and all this stuff. How about putting the ball through the hoop once in a while? 9 of 25 from the floor. Great defensively, going to be a great player, but enough with the poetry, enough with the painting and all of the stuff. Caught another flagrant, by the way. This is becoming a reputation for him to get these flagrants, but just hard to believe you blow that game. To score 30 points in the second half, it's hard to do, even if you just basically take a shot clock violation. I mean, not only you're up 81-52 in the third quarter, you're up 20 with 9 minutes to go. I mean, it's a very hard lead to lose, reminiscent of the Cavs one, where it's just you need a bunch of things to go right. And it's not crazy to say, you know, that swung the championship. The Anunoby tip back, where Fox, not only did he make the mistake, you know, attempting the layup, and he did get fouled there, and the referee complaining from both sides gets exhausting. Fox got fouled, which is fair. And I do think there's part of Fox, I can't tell if he's afraid to get fouled or if he just thought, you know what, I've got the ball, I see the hoop, and this is the play where they're up one and the shot clock's off, it's a loose ball, he gets the ball, he goes to lay it up. I can't tell if he's afraid to get fouled, which is why he went for the layup, or if he just said, you know what, I've got the ball, I see the hoop, I don't see a defender in front of me, I can finish this. And remember, he's dealing with a high ankle sprain, so maybe he kind of forgets his instincts take over, and he forgets that he's maybe not 100% physically, and instead of dunking that or getting the layup and beating Anunoby, he gets beaten to the spot. And again, he got fouled, but that's one that was a very strange decision. He had a terrible game, just terrible turnovers, shots. There's way too much Fox involved. And again, you can have him, you can have Mitch Johnson, you can have all these guys. That was a horrendous performance by Fox and by the coaching staff. But not crazy to think that won the championship. The Anunoby put back. The fact that Towns, which I think this was an underrated play, Towns tipped the inbound with 1.2 left, where if that's a good pass and that does not get tipped, that is going to be a game-winning dunk or a layup for the Spurs most likely. That was wide open. It was a great design. It was a great play set up. But the fact that the ball was tipped, you know, the ball gets caromed and it takes a weird angle. And it ends up being obviously no bucket and a win for the Knicks, a 1-point win. Josh Hart off the hook. That play would have gone down in infamy, and it was kind of cool. You know, Larry David, Taylor Swift. Taylor Swift doesn't bother me at the Chiefs game as much as everybody else, but it is a little much. You know, all of a sudden she's a big Knicks fan. Okay, fine. But it was cool seeing Larry David, Jerry Seinfeld. I mean, think about all the years, how long ago Seinfeld was. And for them to be in the same building, if you're a Seinfeld fan, to see them in the same building and they're talking after the game and, you know, kind of reading the lips, can you believe that? Big smiles on their face. For them to be in the same building for that kind of moment, for that kind of night, all these years later. I like that. I thought that was kind of cool. The Larry David reactions to the heart miss and then eventually the putback, all the reaction. I thought all of it was great. I thought the crowd was awesome. How could the crowd not be awesome when you have that kind of a historic comeback? I think the Spurs probably bounce back and win. There's no chance I'm laying the 5.5. I mentioned before game four that I kind of lost a feeling for it, but I think the Knicks win game four and the Spurs win game five. And by the way, even though the Knicks win the game, the Spurs cover. So for the first time in a very long time, the spread comes into account where if you had the Spurs on the money line, obviously that's about as bad as it gets. If you had the Spurs plus the points, you know what? You cash that ticket regardless of the loss because that line closed 2.5. You know, obviously the game lands on one. I'm not laying 5.5. If anything, I like the Knicks. I probably prefer to just wait from an actual, like, when do you bet it standpoint, wait, because the market likes these teams that are desperate in their home, similar to when you're down 1-0 at home. The market, you know, they always get bet, and the Spurs closed -7 in game two, even though they not only didn't cover but didn't win. Leads continue, by the way, to just be completely irrelevant in this series where the Spurs are up double digits in all these games and the Knicks just keep coming back and keep fighting back. But these teams are too even. These games are too close. I'm not laying 5.5. Could you make the case the Spurs are shot after that? A young team, deflating, chance to be up, you know, chance to be 2-2. And you're starting to think, man, if that was 2-2, the way the series was going, I don't know how many Knicks fans would have too much confidence if this was, you know, if that ended up being a 20-something point Spurs win and it's 2-2 with 5 on the road and 7 on the road, despite the fact that the Knicks have played well. But I'll take the Knicks plus 5.5. I think the Spurs probably win, but expecting them to win by 2-3-plus possessions, that's just asking a lot. These teams are way too evenly matched to expect that. So give me the Knicks plus the 5.5 points. I think it'll be a close game. I wouldn't be shocked if the Knicks close it out. I wouldn't be shocked if the Spurs, like I said, just come out flat. But my prediction is the Spurs probably win a pretty tight game. And then we set up a very dramatic, very tense game six. And if you don't have bets, how could you not be rooting for a game six between the Knicks and the Spurs? Madison Square Garden, Knicks with a chance to clinch it at home. But on the flip side of it, a lot of pressure, possibly looking at a game seven, which would be a lot of fun. So we at least got to the weekend here. We get a Saturday game number 5. We'll see if we get a game 6, which would be on a Tuesday. And you start to get 2 days off in between these games. Again, no game on Sunday. And if the Spurs can win this and Spurs can win the next two, we're playing on a Friday night about a week or so from now, June 19th, which would, again, if you're the Knicks, you want no part of a game 7. Right now, you don't want any part of a game 6. You want just to wrap this up in 5, which is possible. That'd be a bad look for the Spurs. That would be a very bad look for the Spurs to, you know, have home court, lose all 3 games in the finals on your home court. Young team, I'm sure they'll bounce back. They'll have their moments. I mean, you never know, though. You never know. Thunder are really good. Wemby could get hurt. I mean, just look at OKC back in 2012 when they had Durant and Westbrook and Harden and they lost the finals. They'll be back. They're fine. They're young. They're so good. This and that. And they never got back. Not with that crew, at least. Not with that group. So you never know. And that's just a historic comeback for the Knicks, a historic loss for the Spurs. I mentioned on the Wednesday show with Kelly that if I had to bet anyone, Anunoby at 25-1 would be the guy. I actually saw some 40-1s after we recorded that. I don't have too many books with access to that here. He's obviously got a very good case. I think they'd probably still give it to Brunson, but Anunoby's been the MVP of this series so far. I know you can tell me Brunson attracts the attention, all of those things. That's all fair. But Anunoby, with his three-point shooting, the putback, the defense, to me, Anunoby's the rightful MVP. Would they give it to him? I'm not sure. We still have another game, if not more, if not, you know, multiple games here to decide that. Would I bet Anunoby at 3-1? I don't think that's the worst bet. I don't think that's the worst bet. Again, I never know what these voters are thinking. And Brunson is so much the heart, the face of the team, you know, and that plays into it where, especially if he has a 30-point game, even if it's inefficiently, I just don't trust the voters to not give it to Brunson. But Anunoby at 3-1, obviously, you know, the 40-1 a couple of days ago was much better, but now you got another kind of shaky Brunson game and another strong Anunoby game with a signature moment in the bank to help your case. And if San Antonio does not come back and rally and win 3 in a row, and it's very different when you have 5 at home and 7 at home, and you're down 3-1, you know what? If you're the lower seed, if you're the road team in the series, and 5 is on the road and 7's on the road, it's very different than, all right, you're down 3-1, but 5 isn't home, you can win that, and then all of a sudden, you just need to steal 1 on the road, to be looking at a game seven where you're the favorite again. And these series can flip very quickly, but that Anunoby putback will live forever. The tip by Towns, that game is just one of the great games in the history of the NBA. And if that's the game that helps break this long drought for the Knicks, man, that's just that's one you're going to remember forever. That's going to live forever. That's one of the all-time great games, and would have been a would have been a tough loss for the Knicks. There would have been not a lot of confidence. I don't care how big of a Knicks fan you are. I don't care how much confidence you have in this team. If that continued on the path it was going, and the Spurs won that game by 25, 30 points, there's not a Knicks fan I know that would have said, no big deal. They're going to rally. They're going to win this in six or seven. It's just, I don't think that would have been the case, but that is not the case. That's not a hypothetical that has to be dealt with. It is a 3-1 Knicks lead, and they are now monster series favorites and monster favorites to hold up the trophy, have a parade, but they need one more win. So, again, I like them plus 5.5. I think they probably lose a close game on Saturday night. And you could talk me into pretty much anything. If they won big, wouldn't be shocked. If they lost big, you know what? They're down 3-1. They're on the road. That's not a spot where, hey, if the Spurs won big, I wouldn't really blink. Either team winning a close game, how could that surprise you at this point? And then going forward, these teams are just so even that anything I think is on the table. So excited for it. That was a fun game in these finals between the NHL, the NBA, and it's been a monster NBA finals. It really has been. And both finals have been good, you know, in the NBA and the NHL. But we knocked the NBA all year. The regular season stinks, which it does. You can't have a much better NBA finals than the one you've had when you consider it's Madison Square Garden and it's the Knicks and it's Wembanyama. And there's the controversy with the refs, and there's some dirty fouls by Wembanyama. It's great theater. It really is. The games are awesome. The games are intense. The leads aren't safe. There's comebacks. There's so much to it. It's such a great series. I think the ratings have reflected. I think that 24 million people for game three. I didn't see the rating for game four. I'm sure it was a monster rating because it's 2-1 going in. A lot of storylines. I wonder how many people at halftime said, you know what, it's a work night, it's a school night, whatever the case is. And then and people, you know, go to bed and they wake up and say, what's the final score? What happened? And they missed the classic. But just a tremendous theater. So looking forward to it. Give me the Knicks plus 5.5 for game number five. We'll see if we get a game six, and we'll see what Jensen Lewis thinks. That is next. This Should Have Bet More podcast. All right, we're back. Should Have Bet More podcast. You can catch him VEASAN by the books, ESPN, where he does a great job on the play-by-play color. And he is Jensen Lewis. He joins us now. Jensen, appreciate you coming on. I guess you have a big announcement to make. You're making a return to Major League Baseball. Do you want to tell the people?
I don't know if that is, but tell me, when would I return and where would I be? That's what I would love to know.
I don't know. I thought maybe you got the itch being around the ballpark the last couple weekends in West Virginia. We'll get to some college baseball. We'll get to some Major League Baseball. But first, my goodness, I'm still just recovering, as we all are. The NBA Finals, it's been awesome. NHL's been awesome, recording this before the NHL game. But, man, I guess I'll ask it this way. As a former athlete, do you trust the Spurs to bounce back mentally from that game against the Knicks? Look, I can only take the points with the Knicks. These games have been too close. These teams are too even. But from a former athlete standpoint, where do you think the Spurs are psychologically? And boy, can you believe that comeback on Wednesday night?
I would say that going home is a little bit easier, but not by much, to digest and try and process and move on. The extra day off probably helps, just to kind of get your wits about you, maybe make a couple adjustments. The crazy thing, Will, is, you know, the Knicks have been down by double digits pretty much every first quarter or every first half, and the inability to get it across the line, I think that would be the most frustrating part for me in that locker room. Is you come in at halftime, you have shown you're the better team, and this latest game by 27, yet you still can't find a way to be able to get that to the finish line. I think that would be the most frustrating part, the way you lose. And I said it to Dave Ross. I said, I'll use a UFC analogy. It feels like you just got hit with a huge haymaker. There's 90 seconds left in the round, and you are in a submission position where you can only hold on for dear life right now. You're trying to get this thing to the end of the round to come up for air. I don't know if the Spurs have anything left. Selfishly, I hope they don't, because it's a 16-1 future I've got on the Knicks to be able to win it all. So I hope they take care of business, because I don't, Will, from the former athlete standpoint, want to have that flight back if I'm New York with all the pressure at home on game six. If the Spurs get up off the mat, then it's house money. Spurs could say, hey, we're going to sell out. We shouldn't have been here, but we are. Might as well win it. And then, as you know, if you get to game seven, all bets are off.
Yeah. What was the worst loss you've ever had as an athlete, by the way?
It's probably game seven of the ALCS. And reason being, it's not game five where we had a chance to punch our ticket to the World Series in 2007 there at home. It was more the way we got blown out in game six and then we got blown out in game seven. And I think we all realized in that moment we were the better team. We just didn't play that way down the stretch. It's eerily similar to where we are with San Antonio. You play like 12 of these games, 13 of these games. Is San Antonio the better team? They might be, but that's why we play four quarters. And I think that's probably the analogy I would give is I think we knew we had the Red Sox. We just could not finish the job. And that will always stick with us no matter how long we live on this earth.
Yeah, and Spurs were up 29 points. It was 81 to 52, and it was still 20 with 9 minutes to go. And I was saying in my open, you know what? Part of it crossed my mind of like, man, it's the Knicks. They've got this magic. They've done this before. I should take a little look at, you know, the money line. Maybe they can come back. But the majority of my thinking was it's just too many points. It's not enough time. This is the Spurs. It's not the Cavs. But here they are. And once you got it to 10, you get it to 4, you just chip away. It's, you know, no different than in baseball where, all right, we saw Nationals Giants on what was it, Wednesday, where, all right, it's you go from, you know, you take it in little stages where you're down 9. All right, let's just try to get the tying run on deck. Let's try and get the tying run on base. And all of a sudden, you win the game. Just incredible. It's why we love sports. It really is amazing.
It is. And to your Nationals analogy there, that's always something we took pride in the bullpen was – we didn't care if it was a one-run lead, a 10-run lead. You had to have that mentality that this was a close game. And it was the only way you would harden yourself to not being susceptible to giving away games. And to be fair, the Nationals are in it, right? I mean, you may look back. Will, we've how many times have you and I watched a baseball season come down to the final week of the year and you look back and the difference is a game or two, and maybe a series or two. You go back and look at games you should have gotten across the line. Yes, they're balanced by maybe those are games we shouldn't have won, but we ultimately make a huge comeback. I know it balances out, but giving away, it is so hard to win at the highest level in professional sports. So giving away those opportunities, it really leaves you with some regret.
Yeah, and I know that's the old saying, too. You're going to win games you're supposed to lose. You're going to lose games you're supposed to win. I'd never buy this idea that in baseball they just automatically even out. Like, if you've got a good bullpen, you're going to win
right.
More than you lose, and you know, and vice versa. Do you think there's value MVP? Brunson minus 120 or so, Ananobi around 3-1. You can actually find close to 4-1. And obviously the number on Webb and Yaman matches the number on the Spurs. Do you think they would give it to Ananobi? Brunson is so much the heart, the soul, the face of this team. You know, he's gotten the points up there. It's just he hasn't been very efficient. What's your thoughts on this MVP market?
Yeah, and I guess if I'm a voter, if I take away Brunson, what does this team look like? And for a quarter there, we kind of saw it, right, where he had, you know, the ankle issue and the knee issue, and you're kind of like, yeah, everyone's kind of running around. There's no one to corral him. That was always my thing if I were an MVP voter. If I take away OG Anunoby, I think the Knicks can still win. And now they may not be as lethal in the front court, but they still would have a better chance than if I took Brunson away. It feels like you cut off the head of the monster if you have no Brunson. So that would lean me just in the narrative part of it here. Will, if I watch that team, regardless of statistics, if Jalen Brunson isn't on the floor, it feels like this is not as lethal of a New York Knicks team.
Gut feeling. What happens in game five? What happens in the series? Bets aside, just as a sports fan, what's your gut feeling?
My gut feeling, and Mike Palm and I kind of discussed this on our show on Thursday, was it's either going to be really, really, really one-sided by the Knicks are just going to absolutely lay them out because the Spurs can't get up off the deck, or this ends up being, you know, one of those spots where the Spurs are able to cover. And I think when maybe not convincingly, but like 6-7 points right there. What's the spread? 5.5-6. They would cover that. It does not feel like we are destined for a close game. That's kind of weird to say, considering where the spectrum has been throughout watching the first four games of this series. Selfishly, as I said, I hope the Knicks finish it off because I think there is an undue amount of pressure that comes back on them if you have to get to a game six. Maybe the most expensive ticket in NBA Finals Championship Series history to get set foot inside MSG. I think they get it done, though, brother. I think there's way too much momentum, and I just morally and mentally, how does the Spurs team get up off the mat?
Yeah, I don't know that anything would surprise me in Game 5 or going forward the rest of the series. You could tell me the Spurs, you know, won their home game. They somehow win Game 6, which, I mean, they were very close. They should have won both in MSG.
Right.
And then, obviously, like you said, third advantage in 7. Knicks win Game 5. Knicks win it. I mean, you can convince me of any of the results now. I wouldn't be shocked. I do think we're – and I thought this before Game 4. I felt like the teams would split 4 and 5 and we'd be headed for Game 6. I still feel that way. Probably Knicks in 6 is the feel here. And from a content perspective, man, the longer this series can go, the better. College Baseball World Series, your favorite bet among the four games is what here? And I can pull up the games here and set it up. Before I ask it that way, Troy, West Virginia, like I mentioned, you've been covering those games. That's the first game up Tuesday afternoon. West Virginia minus 230 favorites, total 10.5. Does Troy belong with these other teams? Or are they only here because of the way the bracket broke? What's your thought on this matchup?
Well, first, you have to respect Troy. To go through the Gainesville Regional and really just undress the Gators in their own backyard the way they did. This team was one of the good mid-majors at the beginning of the season. There's a lot of smoke around Skylar Mead's group and that they could hang with the big boys. Yes, it may be mid-major in name here, Will, but their brand of baseball, it's a high wire act, and be ready for a lot of swag, a lot of attitude. I think you get the blue collar mentality here with Steve Saban's Mountaineer crew. And yes, selfishly, having covered them the last couple of weeks, it does have Team of Destiny feel. The pitching has been really outstanding. They led the Big 12 all year in that category, top 10 nationally, comparatively to the teams that are still left here. And I would say that there is that point where you look at guys that just come up in the clutch. Armani Guzman, leadoff hitter, was installed there by Coach Saban's a couple of days before the end of the Morgantown Regional. They have taken off from there. Gavin Kelly is going to be a first-round draft pick in next year's draft. He's so versatile between catching and playing middle infield. But I think it when you look at Omaha, the park plays bigger, Will, because the wind does tend to blow in, and it is much more spacious. So that usually favors teams that have great pitching staff. So you're looking at West Virginia, you're looking at North Carolina, you're looking at Texas, and those teams that could win close, low-scoring games. West Virginia creates chaos in the base paths. Texas can beat you a lot of different ways. And I think North Carolina, depth-wise, they have a great beginning-to-end pitching staff. So I really would lean more towards those teams, knowing that you're not going to get the homer explosion that we saw at pretty much a record level through the regionals and so far this postseason.
North Carolina minus 160 over Ole Miss. That's the Friday night game. Saturday afternoon, a little rematch of the college football playoff. Alabama and Oklahoma, basically a toss-up either way. Total is 10. And then Texas and Georgia. Georgia is a slight dog here, so it's Texas minus $1.35. Total 10.5. Out of those four, out of those real eight, between the sides and the totals, your favorite bet is what?
I would say just a money line parlay for me. I would take West Virginia if it is Chanson Cole, who has just been an absolute heater, basically ace A, ace B, however you look at it, between him and Max Yale, who is a Big 12 pitcher of the year for West Virginia. Cole gets a boatload of ground balls, perfect setup for Charles Schwab field there. I think Troy runs into a little bit of an issue with how hot the West Virginia offense has been. So I definitely like West Virginia, and I'll kind of stay on the same side here. I've got a 60-1 future on Ole Miss, but if it's Jason DeCaro who's going to get the ball for North Carolina, his stuff really matches up so well against Ole Miss. Judd Uitermark, a great, absolutely fantastic super regional in Auburn, one of the big power bats there for Mike Bianco's Rebels. I kind of lean towards North Carolina. It's a win-win for me. Ole Miss gets through, I get my 60-1 future into a 1-0 scenario. North Carolina gets through, then that money line parlay of the Mountaineers and the Heels ends up cashing as well.
Georgia and Texas are 3-1 to win it all. Carolina around 3-1 as well. Ole Miss 8-1. West Virginia around 8-1. Bama 14-1. Troy in the 30-1 range here. Anyone, if you had no bets in pockets, is there anyone worth a play?
Yeah, there's two that I would look at. Oklahoma, and saw them in Nashville against Vanderbilt. They have the front line starting pitching. And in this part of where we are in the year, Will, if you keep winning, you keep getting off days in between games. And that is so massive to save your pitching resources. I think they've got enough, and they are really good on the base paths. They love to create chaos. I think that's a team that is great value for where their price point is. I would also look at North Carolina just at knowing what the pedigree is. Scott Forbes has had a pitching factory there. They don't hit a ton of home runs, which is fine, but they do slug and they do take the extra 90. So I think that's great. One other thing to put in mind for people, if you don't want to jump in until Sunday, teams that lose their first game, there's only been four in the last 44 years that have come back to win the national championship. The latest, I believe, was Oregon State in 2018. They've actually done it twice, 2018 and 2006. But it is so difficult to come out of the loser's bracket because of all the pitching resources you have to expend. So my advice would be, if you don't have a great feel to start and you want to sit back and watch, I would definitely look towards the teams that win their first games on Friday and Saturday and then act accordingly.
You can get some really nice prices. I sent some of these to you. Not only there's two ways to play it: name the two finalists or name the exact result of, you know, Alabama's going to beat North Carolina 30-1. Any of those, I sent some of those to you. Any of those jump out? Any of those worth a sprinkle to you?
Yeah. So I think if I'm trying to get in, it would be West Virginia, North Carolina that I would side with on the left side or the upper part of the bracket. And then I would look at Oklahoma and Texas and the bottom part of the right side. I think if you want to kind of have some fun with those exactas, naming the finalists, as you say, I think that is probably the best way to do it. Heart of hearts, I think chalk, you could hold. You could say North Carolina, Texas. I don't think that's a bad wager. But as I said, the Mountaineers are there to stay, man. It's going to be fun to watch and see what their pathway looks like.
Do you look at any of these totals? Because I know in years past, for years, the reputation, oh, man, it's Omaha college baseball, metal bats. You're going to just have you know, beer league softball games, where in the past few years, it's actually been a pretty good underfest where, I mean, you know, you're covering these games. These guys, even, you know, guys you never heard of on schools you never heard of, throwing 97, 98 miles an hour.
Yeah.
Like you said, the park, the dimensions, the wind, all of that stuff. Are totals anything you look at? Any totals interest you here in these four games?
Yeah, and always for me, I would be checking, especially in the day games, looking at the wind blowing in from right field. That is usually what happens. And if it is that case, then unders are really a good friend of yours. And then remember, I'll kind of reiterate it, top 15 in Division I ERA so far this year of the participants remaining. West Virginia was 7th, North Carolina was 8th, Texas was 13th. So run suppression, really good for those clubs. Those games that have those kinds of matchups, like if we get a 1-0-1-0 game with North Carolina, West Virginia, it would almost be an auto bet under for me, just knowing those pitching resources. All that being that they don't play extra innings and have to expend a lot of pitching out of the bullpen. But those kind of teams, when they match up, the under is your friend, no question about it.
All right, one or two word answer. Who wins the whole thing?
Man, I had North Carolina in the write up for VSiN.com and Florida. I'll stick to my guns here. I think this is finally Scott Forbes' year. They got way too much pitching, way too much depth, a lot of high velo guys. I think they also feel like a team of destiny too. The way that they got upset last year, I was doing the Chapel Hill Regional. Arizona stunned them on their home field. They almost were stunned yet again by Southern Cal. But the way they won that game, the momentum they have, it would not shock me if it's West Virginia, North Carolina for the right to go to that College World Series final.
Switch gears here. Major League Baseball, the last couple. Tarik Skubal is going to be back Saturday against your Guardians. What team will he be on in a couple months? Is it possible now with the Guardians not playing well, the Tigers, is it possible they keep him? What team is he on in a couple months?
I think it's possible, Will. As we enter play kind of this weekend, none of the teams on the outside looking in, as far as if we started the playoffs now with where those six teams currently are on the American League side, no one on the outside has a positive run differential yet. I think the team that's farthest out is only 6.5-7 games from a playoff spot. To me, my usual two checkpoints. At the All-Star break, if you're within 5 games for the division, you're holding on. If you get to the trade deadline and you're a week out of a playoff spot, that's when you scuttle the ship.
If you had to make one Major League Baseball bet right now, futures, awards, wins totals, what would it be?
I think it's still the Mariners to win the American League. I'll stick to one of my favorites at the beginning of the year. They just feel too vaunted once they get everything on all cylinders. Cal Raleigh with the rehab. To think where they are, Will, with the amount of struggle and injury that Cal Raleigh has had after a historic season, when he finally gets there and they hit the ground running, I think Seattle's the team to beat in the American League.
AL MVP is going to be who?
Oh, man. Oh, I kind of hope the Yankees stay in it as long as they do, because I would love to see not only that and the Astros hold on to Yordan Alvarez. I think you could get Ben Rice. I think you get Yordan. I think you could get Bobby Witt Jr. I think the Royals still have a little bit of run in them. We may see, just like in the National League Cy Young, we got about four or five candidates right now. I think we got to fight to the finish in the American League MVP race.
Jensen, you're the best, man. Well, appreciate it. Where can we find you?
At JLew50, JLewFifty on X. Of course, weekdays with Super Dave Ross on VSiN by the Book, 7 to 10 a.m. Eastern. Buddy, can't wait. We're getting into the dog days. Going to be a lot of fun here in a couple of months.
And no major league comeback for you, right? You're done?
So far, unless they can really present me with a very enticing incentive-laden contract, I think we're here to stay.
All right, man. Appreciate it. Thanks again.
You bet.